Thank you for joining us for our broadcast today. My name is Ben Bailey.
Almost you persuade me to become a Christian. Acts chapter 26 and verse 28. Welcome to our study of the last three chapters of the book of Acts. Acts 26, 27, and 28. Here Paul is now going to reach his ultimate goal given by God of taking the gospel before kings all the way to Caesar himself. And as Paul is preparing to go to Rome in Acts chapter 26 and 27, there are many practical lessons that we learn along the way. For example, in Acts chapter 26 and verse 2, Festus wants Agrippa to hear Paul, mainly because he's embarrassed about writing to Caesar without any real reason for sending Paul. And Paul is going to respond in one of the most beautiful ways about speaking for Christ. Notice Acts chapter 26 and verse 2. I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because today I shall answer for myself before you concerning all the things of which I am accused by the Jews. Acts 26 and verse 2. And so Paul felt happy to stand before King Agrippa and give an answer for Christianity. I think this teaches us a powerful lesson about how that we also ought to be happy to speak out about Jesus. I believe Paul was happy to speak out about Christ, because Christ had given Paul true happiness, true joy in life. You know, Paul had much to say about joy. He said in Philippians 4, verse 4, "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice." Paul had a reason to rejoice, and he wanted to tell others about that. The Bible says, "Happy is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly." Psalm 1, verses 1 through 3. And so since Paul's life had been given new meaning, new purpose. He found happiness, so he was happy to speak about Jesus. Friends, are we that way? Are we really happy to tell others about Christ? When someone asks us about living the Christian life, or what we believe, or about Jesus and the church, does it embarrass us? Do we kind of shy away and say, well, you'd be better to ask somebody else about that? Or do we stand up and say, I'm happy to tell you why I'm a Christian? We do need to be ready always to give an answer for him that asks a reason. 1 Peter 3 and verse 15, but that ought to be done with joy so that we can show others that Christ living in us is the best life. Now, in Paul's defense before Agrippa, in verses 4 and 5, Paul is now going to appeal to his well-known character before the Jews. Paul says, the Jews have known me. They've known how I live. My reputation stands for itself. He then appeals to the promise made to the fathers in verses 6 and 7. This is what the fathers promised. It was given to Abraham in Genesis 12, verse 2, that in you all nations will be blessed. That same promise was made to David in 2 Samuel 7, verses 12 through 14. I'll raise up one from your seed of whose kingdom they'll never come to an end. This is the promise God made through the fathers, Paul said. Paul then says that the power of God to raise the dead can be seen. It can be seen through Elisha, it could be seen through Lazarus, and it could be seen through Jesus. For with God, all things are possible. Paul then reminds them of his former life. He says, you're trying to accuse me, but look at me. One time I was just like you. In verses 9 through 11, he says, I used to persecute the church. I wreaked havoc upon it. But now, since I've been converted, verses 12 through 17, Paul says, I've changed my life. I'm a new man. I've got hope in Jesus, and this is the hope the gospel brings. And so Paul's defense is based on Scripture. It's based on undeniable truths that even the Jews themselves knew. And friends, as Paul begins this teaching, as he begins to talk to Agrippa, we see a lot about the purpose and the power of preaching in these verses. In Acts chapter 26 and verse 18, the Apostle Paul says that the gospel is to open their eyes in order to bring them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive the forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among all those who are sanctified by faith. Here's Paul's purpose in preaching the gospel: to help people receive the forgiveness of sins, to open their eyes. Their spiritual eyes had been darkened by sin, and so Christ and the preaching of the gospel is what opens people's eyes today. It's what gives forgiveness of sins. It's what's creating faith in people who are living according to the will of God. And so Paul mentions here the purpose and power in preaching the gospel. Remember, the Word of God is living and powerful. Hebrews 4 in verse 12. It is the Word which is able to save our soul. James 1 in verse 21. Unlike the grass that withers and its flower which fails, the Word of the Lord endures forever. 1 Peter 1 in verse 25. But you know what's interesting? In Agrippa's defense, or as Agrippa converses with Paul, in verse 24, Agrippa is going to say, Paul, much learning has just made you crazy. You know what? To some people, being a Christian may seem sheer insanity. Look at what Agrippa says. As Paul thus made his defense, as he based it on the Scriptures, upon his own life, Festus here said with a loud voice, Paul, you are beside yourself. Much learning is driving you mad. The Christian life to these people looked like the mad life. Paul could have had it all in Judaism. He could have been one of the top guns in Judaism, yet he gave all that up to follow Christ. He's now being persecuted. His life is being put on the line. Why? It looked like madness to these men. Denying self, living for Jesus, not living in the lust of the world. But you see, actuality, becoming a Christian frees one. It's the only life that can put you in your right mind. In Mark chapter 5 and verse 15, we learn the man who was possessed by many demons, who cut himself, who no one could chain, who spent his time in the cemetery in the mountains. The Bible says when that man had his demons cast from him, when he came in contact with Christ, he was finally, for the first time, clothed and in his right mind. You see, Christianity is not sheer insanity. It's actually the only life upon which one is thinking clearly. Haggai made the great call in Haggai chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. Consider your ways. To a people who had long been putting themselves before God, who had been building their paneled houses while the temple of God lay in ruin, Haggai called the people to think clearly, challenged them to consider their ways concerning their relationship with God. And so each of us must do the same thing as a Christian. We've got to look to ourselves and see if we're really living the life that God wants us to live. But I want to turn your attention to Acts chapter 26. And I want you to hear what Paul says in verse 25. Festus has just accused him of being mad. You know, Paul might could have responded in several different ways. But look at what he says. Paul said, I'm not mad, most noble Festus, but speak the words of truth and reason. The Proverb writer said in Proverbs 15, verse 1, a soft answer turns away wrath. How true that is. Here Paul could have blistered Festus for his ungodly life. He could have spoken against him. He could have retorted in some other way. But instead he said, I'm not mad, most noble Festus. I'm just speaking the words of truth and reason. How true that is. As Christians, we don't need to respond with unkind words. We need to let our speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 6. We need to speak in such a way that it will cause people to want to hear more about the gospel of Christ. But friend, I now want to turn your attention to probably one of the saddest verses in the whole book of Acts, maybe in the Bible itself. Look at Acts chapter 26 and verse 28. Agrippa has heard the message of God. He has seen that Paul has proven this from the Scripture. He's shown that the Father's approved of this, his own life does. And notice his response in Acts 26 and verse 28. Sadly, he says, almost, almost you persuade me to become a Christian. Paul responds by saying, I wish that you were almost and altogether as I am. I wish you were a Christian except for these chains. Here's a man who was almost converted to the gospel of Christ. How sad that is. How many people do you know who have almost obeyed the gospel? You know what one of the saddest songs in Hell's Chorus is going to be? I almost became a Christian. I almost dedicated my life to the Lord. I almost gave up the sin that had a stranglehold around me. I heard the message preached. I knew it was right. I was motivated to obey. And I almost did. The road to hell, my friends, is going to be paved with good intentions. We need to stop saying almost and we need to get right with God and say, let's do the will of God. Now's the accepted time. Let's obey God's will. You see, God is only pleased with those who obey Him. Matthew 7, verse 21, Jesus said, it's not everybody who just looks out and says, Lord, Lord, that's going to heaven, but those who do the will of the Father. Jesus asked a haunting question in Luke 6:46, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I say? And the Bible tells us in Hebrews 5, verses 8 and 9, that Jesus, He's the author of eternal salvation to all those who obey Him. And so, friends, as we think about Agrippa's response, it's one of the saddest cases of non-conversion. Are you like that? Have you heard the gospel? Maybe you've known for a long time what you ought to do. Maybe you've understood that it was the right way, but there's been things that have been getting in the way. We need to lay aside every sin and the weight that does so easily ensnare us, and we need to make a determination, Hebrews 12, verse 2, to run with endurance the Christian race. Whatever is getting in your way, whatever is keeping you from saying altogether, instead you're saying almost, remove it. Get it out of the way so that you can be a child of God. Now, in Acts chapter 27, Festus and Agrippa, with Agrippa's consent, Paul is now going to be put on a ship, and he is going to be going to Rome itself. And in Acts chapter 27, we see that there are some difficulties that arise. There's a storm that comes upon them. The ship has such a load that it doesn't look like it's going to make it. Some of the crew is getting discouraged, but Paul knows he's got to go to Rome, and he trusts God to get there. You want to see Paul's great faith? Look in Acts chapter 27 and verse 25. Look at what Paul says to the men on the ship about his faith. He says, "Take heart, men, for I believe God that it will be just as He has told me." You see, just a few verses earlier, Paul had seen in a vision that God was going to deliver them from the troubles, that He was going to take care of them. And so Paul says, "Take heart, be of good cheer, don't worry. I believe God that it will be just as He has told me." Oh, how we need that faith today. The faith to say, God said it and that settles it. The Bible says if I do this, I'm going to be right with God and I'm going to live that way. You see, our faith is the victory that we have. 1 John 5 and verse 4, this is the victory we have, even our faith. Faith is produced by reading and hearing the Word of God. Romans 10 and verse 7. Faith is something that is substantial. It's based on evidence. Hebrews 11 verse 1. And friend, without faith like this, it's impossible to please God. For he that comes to Him must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. And so we need the attitude of Paul. We need to say, God said it, and I believe that's the way it's going to be. God said that if I live faithful, I'll have a home in heaven. 1 John 2 and verse 25. Well, this is the promise that He has promised us, eternal life. God said, if you'll be faithful unto death, I'll give you the crown of life. Revelation 2 and verse 10. Are you a child of God? Are you a Christian? If not, what would keep you from becoming one today? The Bible teaches us that to become a Christian, we must first hear God's Word. I've got to listen to what God has to say on the subject of salvation. I've got to go to the right source, the Bible itself. Once I've heard the Word, I must be convicted in my heart, so much so that I put full confidence and belief in Jesus. The Bible says in Acts chapter 8, as Philip and the Ethiopian nobleman were going down the road, he saw certain water. He said, "Hey, here's water. What doth hinder me?" And do you remember his response? "If you believe with all your heart, you may." Acts chapter 8, verse 35 through 37. And so I've got to believe with all my heart that Jesus is the Son of God. I've got to repent and change my ways. Acts 3 and verse 19, we're told to repent and turn again that our sins may be blotted out. And then I must confess the name of Jesus. Matthew 10, verses 32 and 33, Jesus said, "You don't confess me before men, I'm not going to confess you before the Father." And yes, you must be baptized in water for the forgiveness of your sins. Acts 2, verse 38, they were told, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the remission of your sins." And so may the book of Acts encourage us to live every day for the gospel of Jesus Christ.